So we're here on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, second of the wide lines, the second word. The Gemara is going to now raise a question, objection on Rabbi Yirmiyahu. Rabbi Yirmiyahu was the one who said that even when we have a special kriya, for example, the Dalet Parshios, we still read the Parshas HaShavua. And the reason for that is because we could be Mekayim, the special reading for the Dalet Parshios, and at the same time fulfill the Kriyas HaParsha. And we have the Haftorah, and the Haftorah reflect the special Kriya for those days, for those Shabbosos, those four Shabbosos. However, in the case of a Tainis, if it coincides with Sheni V'Chamishi, and there is a Kriya Satorah of the Parshas HaShavua, but at the same time we need the Kriya Vayichal, the special Kriya for a Tainis. So according to the Shita of Rabbi Yirmiyahu, it would make sense that we should try as much as we can, if possible, to maintain the Kriya Saparsha without undermining it, and at the same time read the special Parsha for Tainis. And the Gemara thinks that that's absolutely possible. Why does the Mishnah say that there's hafsaka, that in other words the regular Kriya Sato is completely omitted in the case of a Tainis? And the reason for that is because the Kriya Satainis is going to trump the Kriya of the Parasha. Why is that necessary? You can have your cake and eat it. The Tainis, the Gemara says, Lomali hafsaka, Likri mitzafra binyani diyoma ubimincha bitanisa. We have two kriyos on a Monday and a Thursday. If it's a tainis, we have the morning kriya of shachris, and during that kriya we could be mekayim the mitzvah of kriyas haparsha, whatever the parsha shavu is in that week, and then we have the kriya of mincha for tainis. And at that point, we could be mekayim the kriya of Vayichal for the special kriya of Tainis. There's no need, therefore, to undermine the kriya of the Parshas HaShavua. So the Gemara answers, Misayalei L'Rav Huna. The fact that on a Tainis, on a Monday and a Thursday, we will completely omit the kriya HaParsha and replace it with the Kriya of the Tainis, the Kriya Vayichal, is a proof for Rav Huna. The Omer Rav Huna mitzafra ki nufya. Now this concept of mitzafra ki nufya reflects on the issue of the Seder Hayom of a Tainis. A Tainis is divided basically into two parts, the morning and the afternoon going into the evening. We'll soon see that the second part of the Tainis is itself subdivided into two parts, a third and a fourth, if you follow me. So we have four quarters. We have the two quarters of Shachris of the morning, and then we'll have the third quarter and the fourth quarter. Now, if Huna's of the opinion that the morning of a Tainis is dedicated to what's called Asifas Anshei Ha'ir, we gather together the people of the city, and the leaders of the city initiate a process called Bodkim. They check out to try to discover why this catastrophe, this impending doom, is threatening the people. There's some sort of a tzara, some sort of a magefa, dever, cherev, whatever it might be. There must be a sin, and we have to discover the sin. That's called Bodkim biyadam. The Avera. And there's a twofold purpose here. Number one is to try to investigate what is the Avera going on here in this city. And number two, the ultimate goal is to bring the people to do tshuva, to warn them that we're going to be punished severely if we don't do tshuva. And apparently this process of Ha'am Misasvim, Ubodkim, Biyadshe Ir Mashirim, Yesh Biyadam Avera, etc., etc. This whole process was very time consuming. It didn't just happen, bang, you know, in a second. And therefore, they had to dedicate the entire morning of the Tainis to this process. The rest of the day was dedicated to Torah and to tshuva and to tefillah. So in the morning there was bedika, and hopefully if it was successful they would actually determine what was the sin for which the members of the city were guilty. It could be there were only certain individuals who were guilty, but maybe the entire city is considered guilty. They could have done something to stop it, but this process of bodkim masirim is going to preoccupy them for the entire morning. And only in the afternoon are they going to dedicate themselves to Kriyas HaTorah, Vayechal, and to do tshuva, and to be Mishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Tchiros and Za'akos and Vidui, in order to try to stave off the impending doom. So the strange thing here is, and it's pretty surprising, is that according to Rav Huna, because the morning was so, you know, they were so preoccupied with Bodkim Asa'am U'Masirah, they didn't have time for Kriyas HaTorah. The Kriyas HaTorah was therefore pushed off until the afternoon. And the afternoon requires the Kiyum Tainis, which means that they have to read the Kriya of the Tainis, the Kriya Vayechal. There was no Kriya during Shacharis. And that's why the Mishnah here says Mafsikin, that we're going to be Mafsikin with Tainis, which means that we're going to have to omit the Kriyas HaParasha, the Parashas HaShavua. There's no possibility of dedicating the morning to the Kriyas HaParasha and the Kriya of the afternoon to the Tainus of Aichal, because there is no Kriya in the morning. And the reason why the Kriya in the morning is completely omitted is because we're dedicating the morning for Bedikas HaAveros. Now, there are two kashas here that we want to mention. One is the Kasha of the Achronim, and the second is the Kasha of the Ran. The Achronim point out that our Mishnah, when it says Mafsikin, it mentions two things, not just Tainios, but also Ma'amados. Now, Tainios were Gzera on Atziras Gishomim. There was a drought or some other catastrophe, and certainly there was requirement, therefore, B'dikas Ha'om, in order to determine the Avera, which is Goreim, the Atziris Gishomim. But in the case of Mamados was established the whole year round for the Karbonas HaTzibur. Has nothing to do with impending doom. It was part of the Kiyum of Karma. And if that be the case, there was no Hisasfus Livdok B'maisa Om. So why would the Mishnah say that Mafsikin L'Mamados? Bishleim, we understand Mafsikin with Tainios, because the morning was so preoccupied with Bedikas Ha'om that there was no possibility of Kriyas HaTorah. But in the case of Ma'amados, there was no Hisasvus, there was no Bedikas Ha'om. Why couldn't they divide up the morning and the afternoon and fulfill the special Kriya of Ma'amados, which we're going to learn about soon, of Parashas Bereishis that we didn't get up to yet, in the afternoon, and in the morning they would read the Parashat HaShavua? So that's the Kasha of the Achronim. The second Kasha I wanted to call to your attention is the Kasha of the Ran. The Ran says that in our time we don't have this minig of kinufya, of his asvus ha'am, and therefore we're free in the morning for Kriyas HaTorah. So why should we be reading the Parashat Vayechal twice on the day of Atainis, once in the Shacharis, and a second time to repeat it in the afternoon? Why not read the regular Parashas HaShavua in the morning and then dedicate the afternoon Kriya at Mincha time to Vayechal? Because we don't have this meaning of Kinufia. And he quotes Hagon HaRav Paltavoy, I don't know who he was, one of the Rishonim, who says that on a Titus, which coincides with Sheni B'Chamishi, on Shachas, we're going to read the regular Kriyas HaTorah. We don't have Kidnufya. And only in Mincha will they read Vayechal. The Ran himself says, no, that's not our minhag. Our minhag is that we read Vayechal both Shachas and Mincha. And the reason is that since the Kadmonim in the earlier generations established this enactment of Hafsaka, then on a Titus we completely skip the Kriyas HaParasha, and they didn't read the Parasha at all. We also follow that minog. It's like Minog Avosein V'Yodenu, and in Shacharis time we're not going to read Minyanei from the regular Kriyas HaParasha. We're going to read Vayechal. So it seems like there's machlokas rishonim whether or not our minhag b'zman hazeh should reflect the original halacha, the pristine, pure halacha in abstract terms, that we could split between the kriya of shachris and the kriya of mincha. We could fulfill the kriya of the parasha and shachris, and at the same time fulfill the kriya of tainus in the afternoon at mincha time, because we don't have kinufia, and that's the shita of Rav Paltavoy. But according to our minhag, the Ran says, we're going to continue the original minhag, we're going to read Vaichal both shachris and mincha, because we're going to follow the minhag as it was for the kadmon. So we're up to Hechi Avdinan. If you came a little bit after we started, you'll take a look on the third of the wide lines on Daf Lamed Amud Beis. Hechi Avdinan. So now the Gemara goes through the Seder Hayom of a Tainus that was decreed because of an impending disaster, a drought, or some sort of a plague. Omra Abai Mitzafra V'Adpalga Diyoma. For the first half of the day, from daybreak till noon, Ma'ainin B'Mili D'Masa, Bezdin and the leaders of the city, the Zkenim, would sit in the Beis HaKnesses, and they would do a Bedika. Bedika means they would investigate the actions of the Anshei Ha'ir, and they would see if something was going wrong. Maybe, again, this is just my own, maybe there was promiscuity, there was a lack of tznius, there was some sort of a michshol, maybe they weren't careful about Shabbos and Akashas, who knows what it was.
Talking in shul.
Okay. I see you're on your way to Toronto.
Get you every time, you know.
Okay. And there's a threefold process over here. Number one, Yoshu both him. The first is to investigate, to try to determine what is the sin, identify it, single it out. Number two, the second part of the process is Mesirin Es HaMichsholos. If there were certain causes for this sin, they would have to remove those causes. They would have to make protections, fences, siyogim, to keep people far away from that avera. And the third part of this process that took place in the morning is Mazhirim V'Dorshim and Mafrishin Osom Me'averos Me'vim Osom L'Tshuva. That the third part, and this is the most important part of the agenda, was to warn the people, teach them, and give all the drushes that are necessary to convey and transmit what this avera is and why they have to be mafresh and stay far away from the avera, and to do tshuva for their avera. This was the practical musar part of this. And everything I told you is codified by the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchas Tainius. The Rambam says that Minatorah, there's a mitzvah in a case of impending doom of Tainus, of Za'aka, we have to cry out. And the Rambam says that that's Midarkei Tshuva. It's all part of the process of tshuva. And the pasuk that's critical here is a pasuk in Yeshayahu Navi. He says, "Halo zot zet som." This is a day of fasting. Evchareu, and what's the choice? What's the purpose of a fast? Is pateach chartzuvos resha? We have to sort of loosen up all those ties of evil. Lahatir agudos mota. Okay, the language of the Novi is very complex, but the bottom line is we have to bring the people to do tshuva. So there's an equation here between tainus and tshuva. If a person fasts and he doesn't do tshuva, that's meaningless. It hasn't achieved its goal. We're not just there to fast and to afflict ourselves or to lose weight. I mean, that's all nice, but that's not the purpose of fasting. It's got to bring us to tshuva. You know, too many of us spend the entire day figuring out how to survive the fast, and with, you know, sleep here and sleep there and everything else. But that's not the purpose. The purpose is the mitzvah of za'ak, of crying out to Hashem, and the mitzvah of tshuva. So they dedicated the entire morning of the tainus to this long, tedious, complex process of bodkim al maisei anshei ha'ir. Now we're ready for the second half of the day, which itself is divided up into two quarters. This would be quarter number 3 and quarter number 4. Mipalga diyoma lepanya, from noon until the beginning of the evening, which would mean, let's say, in a perfect day, there were 6 hours from 12 noon until the end of the sixth hour, which was Shkia Sachama. So that's the last 6 hours of this day of Tainus. So the first 6 hours in the morning, from 6 in the morning till 12 noon, they dedicated to Mazirin Ubodkin Al Maisa Ir. Now, from noon for the next 3 hours, which is the third quarter of the day, is Revia Diyoma Kara Umaftire. This was dedicated to reading the Torah and the Haftorah. Now, you might ask, why do we need 3 hours to dedicate to reading the Haftorah, to reading the Vayichal and the Haftorah? I can't tell you an answer to that question. I can only say that was the span of time that they gave for the Tzibur, you know, the many different communities or synagogues within the city. So each synagogue would make sure that at the appropriate time that they could gather together the people for Kriyas HaTorah, for davening Mincha, for Kriyas HaTorah, for reading the Haftorah, was within that three-hour span.
We have a question.
Wait, just 1 second so I get to the punchline. Urevia diyoma, now we're up to the fourth quarter, that's from, let's say, 3 p.m. until 6 p.m., and this is the punchline of the entire day of Tainus, is Bo Rachme. This was the time that was dedicated for Bakoshas Rachamim. He says here, we'll see the pasuk in a second, Tchinos Ubakoshos Uzaakos Uvidui. Okay, so the ultimate culmination, which is again at the end of the day, is Vidui. So in a sense, the first half of the day is to determine and single out the sin. What's the cause of this terrible situation that we're facing, this tzara? And the second half of the day is dedicated to be ma'orer, to arouse and inspire people to do tshuva, culminating at the end of the day with the true vidui. So the tefilos and the bakoshes and the tachanunim were meant to bring a person to vidui. And I heard many times from my Rebbe that tshuva requires not only vidui, but requires bakoshas rachamim. So we have tefillah and vidui that integrate into one entity called tshuva, and that's going to be the pinnacle, the apex of the day. And again, I'm with you in a minute, Eric, if you don't mind. I just want to get the pasuk down. And this pasuk is a pasuk in Ezra. It says the following. Shenemar vayikru b'sefer Torah Hashem Elokeichem revias hayom urevias misvadim u'mishtachavim. Now it's very clear from the pasuk that one quarter of the day, we call the 3 hours, is dedicated to Kriyas Sefer Torah Hashem, which we said breaks up into Kriyas HaTorah, which is Vayichal, and then the Haftorah, Dirshu Hashem B'Matzo, etc., etc. And then we have another quarter of the day that's dedicated to Mishtachavim. Mishtachavim means Tchina, means bowing in prayer, and Vidui, and Tshuva. Please note, because this is an introduction to the next piece of Gemara that we're about to learn, that the pasuk doesn't mention exactly which quarter of the day is dedicated to Kriyas HaTorah and which quarter of the day is dedicated to Vidui. The assumption here at this point, the Gemara is going to question this assumption in just a second, is that we're talking about the second half of the day. The first half of the day we dedicated to Bidikas Averos. Now that we've identified the Avera, now we're ready for the Avodah Sayom, so to speak. The Avodah Befal. And the Avodah Befal is going to be comprised of two parts. One is the Kriya part, and the other is the Tefillah and Vidui part of Tshuva. So that's the Seder Ayom, according to Abaye. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just had a question. It says the reading from the Torah, the Korin Maftere. So is that... Because the Sfarim, we don't have a Haftorah for fast days. I'm just wondering where.
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. What we could do, but I don't know what we have here upstairs, is we could take a look in the Shulchan Aruch. I'll tell you exactly where it is. It's Siman Tov Kuf Ayin Vav. Do you want to make a note of that? That's 576. If you make a note on the side, then maybe later on you'll be able to look it up. But I don't know. To us, the Haftorah is a big deal to the Ashkenazim. I know that Haftorah almost by heart because they always give it to me. It's like, you know, people in the audience think I'm great at reading Haftorahs. It's only that one Haftorah that I know. But don't spill the beans.
But you do it several times a year.
Yeah, you do it over and over again. It's a very moving Haftorah. I mean,
if you read it.
Okay. Why do you assume that the first half of the day is dedicated to Bedikas Averos, and then when the Pasuk says that there's a third, a quarter of the day that's dedicated to Kriyas HaTorah, and a quarter of the day that's dedicated to Vidui and Tefillah, how do you know that the two quarters that are mentioned in this Pasuk are referring to the third and fourth quarter of the day, no, to the second half of the day? I mean, that there's no proof for that. Maybe we could switch it around. Maybe we could say the following. Let's dedicate the first quarter of the day, we'll call it from 6 to 9, to the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. And the second quarter of the day, let's say from 9 to 12, we'll dedicate to Tefillah and Vidui. And after the second half of the day, we should be Ma'ayin B'mil D'masa V'yasira Sa'am. And the Gemara is going to reject this based on a reading of a Pasuk in Ezra. Now I'll tell you, Rabosai, I don't know if you identify with my problem, if you can empathize. I don't understand the Gemara's question. It seems to my mind, and obviously I'm wrong, but I want to know why I'm wrong, where did I make my mistake, that the Seder is exactly, the logical chronology here, or secret, should be exactly the way Abai has it. First let's identify the sin, and then let's do tshuva, and let's do tefillah. It seems to me that the V'epach HaNoah is very strange. Watch what goes on according to the V'epach HaNoah. We're going to dedicate the morning to tshuva, to tefillah, to Kriyas HaTorah, and again, Kriyas HaTorah and tefillah seem to be integrated into one entity. I think we've spoken about this on occasion, that the Rambam combines a tefillah and Torah in one mitzvah, right? Mitzvah say number hey in his tarik mitzvahs. And we're going to do that in the morning, and then we're going to embark upon a process of searching out and identifying the sin. I mean, wouldn't it make sense that before you do tshuva, right, one of the conditions of tshuva is what's called pirut achet. Right, the Ram opens up Hilchas Tshuva by saying, kach v'kach asisi, v'scharatati, etc., etc. So you have to mention the sin. So I'll tell you the truth, I hope you'll have a better answer than I do, but I was thinking that the Gemara's question is based on a psychological principle. And that is that a person has to get in the mood for tshuva. You can't hit him with, you know, oh, you're a bad guy. You know, that's not the opening line, and bludgeon him over the head. What you have to start with is kind of almost a ritualistic environment, you know, which you are surrounded by Avodas Hashem, you know, on the highest level, you know, dedicating yourself to reading the Torah and to be mispalel and to trinos, and you have an actual propensity to do that because you haven't had a drop of rain in months, you know what I mean? The crops are just dying from the drought. Oh, so now we're totally, like, you know, in this frenzy, you know, now I can zap you. Now I can say to you, you're on the spiritual high. Let's check out the averus and let's see how we can do a tikkun and bring you to sincere tshuva.
You can't do it the other way. You can't look at a guy in the face and say, yeah, you know, you're a sinner. You're, You gotta get something out of it. You're just offending him. Now that you got him, you have to.
You have to gradually bring him into the mood. You know, he looks around, he sees there's a drought. He has this natural almost need, so to speak, to unburden himself and pray to God. God, save me from this disaster. And he's involved in this, and he's reading the Torah and everything. You know, he's really in a Ben Olam Mokom sense. He's elevated. He's inspired. Now he's ready for tshuva. Now you tell him, look, these are the specific averis that we've discovered. This is where you have to work. I'm not happy with it, Rabos. I'm not telling you, because usually Veipa Kana is some sort of conceptual understanding. I'm giving more of a like a psychological twist to it. You know, if I was a mashgiach in a yeshiva, I wouldn't just call in a bacher and say to him, hey, you know, you're coming late to davening, or you're not learning properly, you know, and then do tshuva. I would first want to go through a whole process of bringing him into the mood for tshuva. You know, uplift him and inspire him. So that's a psychological approach. I don't know. But in any event, the Gemara says, V'yepa kanon. So Gemara rejects this with a pasuk. And this pasuk is going to be in Ezra. So let me give you a little bit of background to the history. And this is a very unfortunate history of intermarriage, which we're facing today with unbelievable proportions. What happens is that Ezra HaSofer makes Aliyah to Yerushalayim, and he finds out that a number of Jews, we're not sure exactly what the number is, were intermarried. They married Shiksas. Now, I don't know if the Jewish girls were married to Shkatzim, you know, to non-Jewish men. This I don't know. All I can tell you is what I know. So what I do know is that the men married Shiksas. Maybe the Jewish women were not married to Goyim. That wasn't an issue. Ezra finds out about it, and the first thing he does, his response is Kriyas Begadav. He renders his garments, and he sits down in Avelus. The Pasuk says, I'm going to read to you the Pasuk in Ezra, in Perek Tes, Mishomen means I was completely unraveled, I was completely shooken up. Ad l'minchas ha'erev, u'b'minchas ha'erev kamti, I got up, mitai nisai. I was in a state of fasting. Uvekari bigdi umi'ili. And I'm not sure ubekari means either he cut kriya a second time, or maybe it means that while his begadim were ripped, and his me'il, his cloak was ripped. V'echra al birkai, I bent down on my knees. V'efresha kapai, I waved my hands, El Hashem Elokai, the Omra, and I said the following, Elokai boshti v'nechlamti laharem Elokai ponai. I'm too embarrassed to raise my face, Elecha. Ki avanoseinu rabu l'mala rosh, ashmaseinu godla ad l'shamayim. So Ezra confronts a very tragic situation, a very fundamental avera, as you can imagine. That's in the parsha in Ezra. Now, it seems that Ezra must have been a magician on a spiritual level, because his impact on the people was immense. And after a period of time, the pasuk says that Chag HaSukkos passed, and after Chag HaSukkos, Hisvadu al Chataehem, these intermarried Jews recited Vidui. V'evdilu es hanoshim anochrios, and they sent the shiksas home. Now, could you imagine if we had such a person today who could do this? If we had an Ezra HaSofer today who could scream out after cutting his garments and fasting, he could say, "Boshti laharm larosh, nechlamti lefanecha, avanoseinu rabu," and people would start divorcing their non-Jewish wives. I mean, that would be unbelievable. I myself know quite a few people who need such an awakening. And the tragedy of it is that most Jews who marry out of the fold, they're so far from Yiddishkeit that I don't want to say it's impossible. I mean, some of them do tshuva. Some of them, you have stories in Chabad especially about women themselves convert to Judaism. Now, you have to know whether that conversion is sincere or not. That's a whole different story. So let's read the pasuk in Ezra. The pasuk says, "Ve'elai ye'osvu kol chared b'divrei Elokei Yisrael al ma'al ha'gola." And I think the ma'al here is this intermarriage that we've mentioned before. "Vani yoshev mishomem ad leminchas ha'erev." Okay. Now what happens from mincha and on? So we're in the middle of the day. Uksiv, the next pasuk says, "Uvemincha's erev kamti mitanisai, mitanisi, ve'efrasa kapai el Hashem Elokai." And if the efrasa kapai is tefillah, so it seems that only during the evening he dedicated himself to Bakoshas Rachamim. Therefore, Abai says it makes sense that the first half of the day is going to be dedicated to Ma'ane, to Bibodek Es Averus. And it's only in the last part of the day that they were involved in Kriyas HaTorah and in Bakoshas Rachamim, in Tefillah and in Vidui and Shuvah. We're both right now, we're up to the new Mishnah. I'm going to just take a quick break to get myself a drink. I'm just very, very dry. John, can I borrow this cup here?
You can take a cup.
Oh, there are cups?
There's cups there.
No. Oh, all right, Todd, give me
this. Take it.
You need this?
No, that's okay.
Okay.
Take it.
Sorry.
I'll get more. There's coffee there that's marked. There's
a, it is marked?
Yeah, it's in the back there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and then I'll bring more cups today.
Sleeping?
Tomorrow, whatever.
You sleeping?
Whatever you do.
Not enough.
Did you guys sit? Did you meet yesterday?
Yes,
because I didn't know about it.
Well, we had trouble. Right. He arrived Monday afternoon.
Okay.
Thanks for waiting for me. Sorry. I got to get used to the... I mean, Sunday in Toronto was freezing. I heard the whole week this week will be freezing. You'll come in here, sir, for the good weather.
God, bring the good weather.
You'll bring the good weather. So the Mishnah now goes through the krios, the special krios for the Yomim Tovim, called Moados. And this is a pretty long, extensive Mishnah. We'll go through it. Most of this is quite familiar to us. B'Pesach, this is on the first day of Pesach. And this we'll see is going to happen again on the first day of Sukkot. Korin B'Parshas Moados Shel Toras Kohen. So here we're talking about the Parsha of Emor, Parshas Emor, and that begins with Shar O Kesev O Eiz. I brought a Chumash here, if you want to look in the back, I think we'll find it there. Ki Vole. And that Parsha concludes with the Pasuk Vayedaber Moshe Moadei Hashem El Bnei Yisrael. That Pasuk is the conclusion, the summary, after the Torah goes through all the different Moad. Batseres, and Atzeres is a reference to Chag HaShavuos, and we're going to read in Chumash Dvarim Shiva Shavuos, which I believe is in Parshas Re'eh, if I'm not mistaken. Now, Rabosai, do you want to hear a little bit about this word Atzeres? Does that interest you, or should I just skip over it? I don't have to say anything, but no, what? You're interested?
Yeah, I'll just talk about Atzeres.
How many times does the Torah call Shavuos Chag HaTzeres? Zippo. It's a rabbinic term.
Right.
And it's in the Mishnah. And the Ramban has a whole discussion. Why did the Chacham change the name of the holiday from Chag HaShavuos? The Goyim, by the way, call it Pentecost, which I think means weeks. In any event, the Ramban says the following. That the word Atzeres means a conclusion of something. Like, for example, Shmini Chag HaTzeres HaZeh, which means that we conclude Sukkot on the eighth day, which is Chag HaTzeres. And the Ramban says that we conclude Chag HaPesach with Shavuos. So there's a tremendous linkage here between Chag HaPesach and Shavuos. So we count the days of the Omer to bridge between Pesach and Shavuos. And that bridge connects the two. Hence, Chazal used the word Atzeres. And by the way, this Shiva Shavuos, Tisbar Lach.
Pentecost means 50, by the way.
It means 50?
Oh, okay.
What means 50?
So in other words, from the name of the holiday, I think they got it right this time, the Christians, is that it's really the 50th day of Pesach, if you follow what I mean. But it's very interesting because this Pasuk of Shiva Shavuos, by the way, does he tell you where the Pasuk is? Because maybe we could open up a Chumash and see it inside, unless he quotes the whole Pasuk there. Mind the sister doesn't bother quoting the Pasuk, unfortunately.
It says Dvarim Tetzvav. Yeah, this is the
should be Tetz Zion maybe. No, Tetzvav.
Tetzvav.
Okay.
Tetzvav Pasuk
Tetzvav.
Does it say Tisbar Lach? If I'm not mistaken.
Shiva Shavuos Tisbar Lach.
Oh, is that what it says? Do you see that there? Or
no,
you're
no, this making doesn't me have feel good. Actual.
No, it's in Vayikra Kaf Gimel.
Wait.
Tetz Zion Bikaf.
And what's
the were we talking about?
I'm asking is one question. If you can answer it, fine. If you can't, just let's go on. What is the next word in the pasuk after Shiva Shavuos? Is the next word Tisbar? Okay, we don't know
happen.
The answer.
This doesn't happen.
Okay, it doesn't happen.
If you want, we just. Yeah.
In any event, Barash Hashanah, what do we read? Bechodesh Hashvi Bi'echad Lechodesh. That's also in the Parsha of the Moedos. And it's very interesting that Tishrei is called the seventh month, which means that Nisan is Rosh Chodeshim, correct? So on the one hand, Tishrei is a very perplexing month. It's the Rosh Hashanah, it's the beginning of the year, but it's not the beginning of the month of the year, it's the seventh month of the year. Very paradoxical. Anyway, B'yom HaKippurim Achrimos. So this is the Avodas Kohen Gadol B'yom HaKippurim, primarily. What would you say is the most important, the central motif or the central the hub of the avoda of the Kohen Gadol and Yom HaKippurim? It's the Shnei Asirim. Sorei Echol Hashem, Sorei Echol Lo Zazel. Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag. Now we're back to Sukkos Korim and Parshas Modos and Torahs Korim. The exact same Kriya that we had for Pesach, Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, that Shor Keves until Vaydav Moshe Smar Hashem El Bnei Yisrael. Ubishar Kol Yivos Achag. What do we do during the balance of Sukkos, meaning during what we call Chol HaMoed? Is we read B'Karbonos, the Parshas of the Korban Musaf from Parshas Pinchas, and if you recall, the number of Karbonos, the number of Parei Achag that are brought during the days of Sukkos change from day to day. Actually goes down in
goes
number.
Down, yeah.
So therefore every day there's going to be a different Kriya.
Equaling 70.
Until finally we get to the number 70 Parei. So for example, on the first day of Sukkos, we're going to read B'chamisha Soyom L'chodesh HaShvi for the Maftir. And on the second day, it'll be Yom HaSheni, etc., etc., till the end of the holiday. That's only in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz, because it's Sfeika D'Yoma, they're going to read on the 2 days of Yom Tov Rishon Shel the Parsha, they're going to read not only the Chamisha Sar on the first day, but they're going to read the Chamisha Sar even on the second day, because maybe it's the first day, because it's Sfeika D'Yoma. So they're not going to read the Yom HaSheni on the second day, which is very interesting. L'chora, if in Eretz Yisrael the second day is Sukkos, which is the first day of Chol HaMoed, we're reading B'Yom HaSheni, then in Chutz La'aretz they should read not only B'Chamisha Asar on the second day of Yom Tov, but they should read B'Yom HaSheni. However, the Gemara is going to say that that's a G'nai. It's a G'nai to Yom Tov to read a Parsha because it's Sofek Chol. You don't want to insult the Yom Tov. I mean, it shows you how far the Chachamim went when they established Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios. You know, today there are people who are mezalzel in Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios. Chas v'shalom. Fine. Now, what's Chanukah? But Chanukah, by the way, you found the pasuk?
Yeah.
Thanks. What's the next word? Is it this part?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good.
And so, you're right, it is in, and this was citing the whole passage, the whole section, but this pasuk is in Tetzayim, right?
Tetzayim. And this pasuk, you should know, is one of the most controversial, historically, one of the most controversial psukim in all the Torah. Right? Because what does it mean, Shiva Shavuos? So here's what the Tzedukim said, that it means seven complete days. Were you here, John, when I spoke about it? You were here, right?
Yes.
Okay. Chanukah is a Parshas HaNesiim. Well, they completed the Melechas HaMishkan on this 25th day of Kislev. And not only that, but during the time of Antiochos, when they went to the Heichal, they made a Chanukah HaMizbeach of 8 days in the Beis HaMikdash. And those were the 8 days beginning with the 25th of Kislev, when they won the battle against the Yevanim. Then the Mishnah Brura, in his discussion in Tofresh Peidal, he adds another point. He says that there's a medrash that Melechas HaMishkan, when it was completed, it was the 25th of Kislev. So you might ask, Chazal tell us that they only erected the Mishkan in Nisan, the month in which Yitzchak was born. So it means they waited from Kislev all the way till Nisan. So the Medrash answers that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the following. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Olai l'shalim l'kislev, I owe a debt, so to speak, to Chodesh Kislev. Why? Because in Chodesh Kislev they completed the Mishkan, and yet they didn't erect the Mishkan. So Chodesh Kislev is, in a sense, cheated. So Shilem Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays up this chov, and what does he offer as a compensation to Chodesh Kislev? Chanukah's Beis HaChashmonai, the great miracle of Chanuk. Purim Vayovo HaMolek. Okay, we know that Homer was Mizera HaMolek. Roshei Chadoshim V'Roshei Chadoshim Chodsheichem. That's the parsha in Pinchas of the Korban Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. In fact, the Ramban is of the opinion that because there was a special Korban on Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh has a din of Halel to Oraisa. Could you imagine? We don't have Halel on Rosh Chodesh. I mean, we have maybe half a Halel, but that's not the real Halel. Right? Svaradim, I don't even think make a brach on Halel Rosh Chodesh, except for a couple of Rambam fans, you know, and then the shots will make the brach, but not the tzivun. So really, Rosh Chodesh is not a yontif, and it doesn't generate a chi of halel like a yontif, but yet, we still have a korban musaf on Rosh Chodesh. So the Ramban comes to the conclusion that in the Beis HaMikdash, when they brought the special korban musaf of Rosh Chodesh, they recited halel. And the Ramban is of the opinion that's a halel d'oraisa. It's unbelievable that Rosh Chodesh actually has a halel d'oraisa in the Beis HaMikdash. Then we get to Ma'amados. So let's just give a general overview of Ma'amados.
I'm sorry, but Pesach we don't recite full Hallel.
That's a different reason.
Right, I know that, but in the Beis HaMikdash they also brought Musaf.
But it was the same Musaf as the day before. Okay, we're not going to go into it. For that you have to learn a Sugya Nerach. That's called Enocholik with Carbonoso.
Okay.
So now we're up to Ma'amados. So what's Ma'amados? We have a parsha in Pinchas called the Parsha Atomi. And the Torah commands us, Tzaves b'nei Yisrael v'yamarta olem es korbani lachmi, etc. Tishmru lachriv li b'moado. And God is addressing b'nei Yisrael. That's what it says explicitly in the Pasuk. So Chazal say, well, if the entire Klal Yisrael have this mitzvah to bring the korban tamid, how are we going to fulfill that? It's impossible that all Klal Yisrael are going to be there on a daily basis, twice daily, to bring the korban tamid in the Azara. So where they're not present at the time of the Akrovas HaTamid. So this is where Ma'amados comes in. And the Gemara establishes in a few places, especially in the Masechta Titus, that the Nevi'im already made a takana of 24 mishmaros. They divide up Klal Yisrael into 24 groups. And each group, each mishmar, would send its representatives to be ma'amid. Ma'amados means to stand together with the Kohanim and the Levi'im at the time of the bringing of the Korban Tamid. Again, there are certain parts where the Yisraelim couldn't go in, but in any event, those were the Ma'amados. These were the Shluchei Ha'av. They were the agents of the people to represent them. And there's a whole description here of the ceremony of when the one Mishmar would be taken over by the other Mishmar. And when it was time for the new Mishmar to come and go up to Yerushalayim, the Kohanim Levi'im would escort them to Yerushalayim, and the Bnei Yisrael, who were not Kohanim nor Levi'im in that Mishmar, if they lived in Yerushalayim, they would sometimes take over, and the Anshei Mishmar would appoint them to be the Ma'amadus because they had quick access. Now, what happens on a day in which you are there representing your Mishmar? That's your from the Anshei Maimon. So we have three elements here. Number one, tefillah. In other words, they would pray on behalf of their people that the korban should be miskabel baratz. So number two, Titus, they would fast on the day of Ma'amados. And number three, that a special kriyas haTorah, which now the Mishnah is going to tell us what it is, and that's b'maisei bracious. So the Ma'amados would last for a week, which is 7 days, and on each one of the 7 days, they would read about the creation of that day, what was created on that day. Rashi adds another point over here. He says that Chazal say that Bishvil HaKarbonos Miskayimim Shomayim Va'aretz. So the Karbonos keep up the world. So therefore it makes sense that we read the story of creation. B'tainios. So now we have a Tzor in Klal Yisrael, and that to be Gozer Tainis. For example, Batzeres and Dever and drought and the like. So in all these cases here, we turn to Daf Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph. We read the parasha, the brachos uklolos, because we don't believe that things just happen by chance. There must be a sin that caused this paronios, and therefore we read the brachos uklolos, which is kind of like an azhar, it's a warning. Like we said before, what's essential to Tainus is to warn the people that they got to do tshuva. If they don't do tshuva, they're going to suffer these klolos. If on the other hand, they do tshuva, they'll be safe from the klolos and they'll get brachos. So that's the purpose of reading brachos and klolos in Parshas Bechukosai on a Tainus. Let's see if we can quickly finish the Mishnah. The Mishnah mentions another dimension of reading Parshas Bechukosai, and that is Ein Mafsikin B'Klolos. So you have to call up one person to read the entire Parsha of the Klolos. Ela Echad Koreas Kulam. And the reason for that is because we have a principle of Ein Omrim Bracha Al Peronios. We don't make a bracha on evil that's going to befall the Jewish people. If they divide the Parsha into two parts, then the Ola HaRishon, the first part, will be Mevarech Birchas HaTorah in the middle of the Peronios, so that his Bracha L'Achreo, his closing Bracha, will be on the Peronios, and the second Ola will be Bracha Rishona will be in the middle of the Peronios. So we don't want to have a Bracha on Peronios. Now Moshe Rabbeinu made a Takana that they should read the Torah not just on Shabbos, but also on Sheni Chamishi. So in addition to Shabbos in the morning, he added Sheni v'Chamishi. Why? He didn't want 3 days to go by without Torah.
This is Moshe Rabbeinu?
Moshe Rabbeinu. Ezra came along much later, and he established that it's not just enough to read one person read the Torah, but we need three people to be called up to the Torah, and each one of those three has to read a minimum of three psukim. Ezra also added a Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos Mincha time. That's because of a Takon of Yoshe HaKronos. And here's how the Mishnah formulates this. It says, "B'sheni b'chamishi b'shavis b'mincha korin kisidron." So, in other words, when we get to mincha, we're going to read the very next parasha kiseder. V'ein olim lahem min acheshbin, but these krios are not part of the cheshbin. Al mashachayovim likros b'parshas hashavua. You shouldn't think that since in Mincha we've already read the first we have three aliyahs for Mincha, then we can start already a little bit later on the following Shabbos. No, on Shabbos we should pick it up from the beginning. It means a separate entity and a chiyuv unto itself. Now how do we know that on the Moadim, which is the very premise that underlies this whole Mishnah, we should read something that reflects the Moed? Shenemar v'yidaberes Vaydar Moshe is Moadi Hashem al Bnei Yisrael. Chazal Darshan Mitzvason Shehu Korin Kol Echad the Echad Bizmano. On each Moed, we should read that parsha that discusses that Moed. Okay, Rabbosai. So tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll start the sugyas.
This is the source then for the discussion we had yesterday about it being
the Oraisa, and that's why it replaces it. It trumps right. The regular Kriya if Moed overlaps with Shabbos. So we don't read the Parashat Shavua, we do Afsoka. And according to the Tzivmi Halosh, it's because the Kriyas HaParashim Modos is Doraisa. And you thought, Eric, it was pretty simple. I think it's